Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy they bring to me.
How I long once more to be
with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by His wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory. Oh, what joy they bring to me. How I long once more to be
with my friends at the old country church. My thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of memory. Oh, what joy they bring to me.
With my friends at the old country church.
Well, good morning, everyone. Greetings in Jesus' name. All right. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, as we get into your word this morning, Father, I'm asking the Holy Spirit to come forward, to give us the guidance, Father, that we need, and to open our hearts and our minds to be receptive until, Father, we can grow in thy word and grow close to the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us now, Father, and I'm asking this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. We're going to be here in Titus chapter 2. It's another very short chapter. 15 verses. And then chapter 3 is the same. 15 verses. So, we'll see what the Lord has for us this morning and just how far we get. So, as we get started here, there's a lot in it and a lot for you and I. Even though, as I say, it's short. Verse 1. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. 2. That the aged men be sober, brave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. The aged women, likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things. 4. That they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children. 5. To be discreet, chastened, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. 6. Young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded. 7. In all things showing thyself a pattern of good work in doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gravity, and sincerity. 8. sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. Exhort servants to be obedient unto their own masters, and to please them well in all things, not answering again. 10. Not prolonging, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior, in all things. 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared to all men. 12. Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purity unto himself, a peculiar people, jealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. Now, as we back up here now, those first five verses, there's quite a bit there. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. We sure have a lot of things going on today that's not of sound doctrine that is being taught. 2. That the aged men be sober, grave, tempered, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. That the aged women, likewise, that they be in behavior, as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the younger women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, chaste, keepers of home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. You know, the aged men are elderly men, not necessarily those who hold office of elder. They are to be sober, sensible, grave, in other words, dignified, temperate, or prudent, and thoughtful, of sound, healthy, in faith, in charity, that is in love, perseverance. Thus the aged men are to be examples of godliness to the younger men. And the aged women, older women, are to be in behavior as becometh holiness. And, you know, they must thus be teachers of good things by teaching the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, and to love their children. The older women are to teach the younger by their example. Discreet means modest and decent. And chaste is sexually pure. Keepers at home means workers at home, not idle, obedient to their own husbands, mean be submissive to their own husbands. You know, but the thing about it is, so many takes this fifth verse here, and they try to make the women actually more or less slaves to them. That's not what it means. because we are also told to put her on a pedestal. And we are to love her. She's not ours just to be used. But he sold you and I coming through a lot of things that we need in our lives. Grain and temper, sound and faith, in charity, patient, you know. These are things that a man of God has to have in his life. And that godly love is something else that we really need. Because we are to love all. Even those that does things against us. We may not like what they do, but we pray for them and we love them and we want to see them actually straighten their lives out and make heaven their home. Now, you pick up here now with 6. Young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded. These younger men should use the older men as their example and pattern their lives after those older men. That is providing the older men are the children of Almighty God. Now, if that older man is not of God, he's part and taken part in this world out here, then don't follow him. Find you another older man that is a man of Almighty God and follow his example and pattern your life after him. You say, yeah, but I'm supposed to follow my dad in everything except the things of this world. Anything that is against God's word, no. Now, a lot of fathers teach their children wrong things. In all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works in doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gravity, and sincerity. You know, that's quite a verse there. To show yourself a pattern of good works. In other words, you are doing good works out there. You're not doing those good works to get into heaven and to become a child of God. You're doing them because you are a child of God. And you're doing what you're supposed to be doing as his child. Now, and in doctrine. The only doctrine you and I need to be following is this apostle's doctrine, this holy Bible, this word should be our doctrine. Don't worry about becoming any other doctrine. Worry about becoming and belonging to Almighty God through the doctrine of this word. And we're told to do that. And we're told that if we come teaching or preaching any other doctrine than this, we're cursed. That's what we're told in the Bible. In fact, we had studied that not too long ago as we were coming through. Now, eight, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say to you. You see, we have to use sound speech which is and comes from and through the word of Almighty God when we are speaking. And when we do that, that speech can't be condemned and it be true. See? And it will cause others to think and even become ashamed because they have really no evil thing they can really say about you. Think about these things. Now then, exhort servants to be obedient unto their own masters and to please them well in all things, not answering again, content, not prolonging, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior, in all things. You know, servants are to be obedient unto their own masters. The servant who does this will adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior, in all things. In this passage, it's not meant to condone slavery, but to show how godliness can overcome the tyranny and the evil master. See, he can overcome all of that. And the slave who did his job well was a testimony to the grace of God and the power of the gospel. But you know, now in our day and time, just because we work for someone else doesn't mean we're slaves. We're working for pay to get through this life, the things that you and I need in order to exist. Because you see, we are here and we are strangers and pilgrims here on this earth and on and should be on a journey of going back home to God, to be reconciled with him. That's why we're here. Now, you know, when we do our job and we do it well, just as the word tells us, we have a testimony, the grace of God. And the power of the gospel. Think about it. Now, 11. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. All men. Some will accept and some won't. But it will appear unto all men. 12. Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. You see, we're not to wait and say, well, you know, I can only do so much, so, but when I get to heaven, I'll be doing this, that. No. We are to live righteously here in this world. We're to shun, stay out of ungodliness and the worldly lust. We don't need the things of this world, not near as much as we think we do, because we are to be reaching for the kingdom of Almighty God and the things therein, and laying up our treasures there so that they would be there waiting for us when we get there. Now, 13. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. You know, when we really stop and think just how glorious it will be when we can be with the Lord. But those that are out here in this world, they are trading things that they cannot take with them for an eternity of pain and misery, heartache and heartbreak, and never no way out, and yet they continue doing just that. Instead of going to the Lord Jesus Christ, repenting of their sins, asking him to come into their lives, take their lives, and to do the work he needs to do here on this earth, to finish things until the Lord Jesus Christ comes back for his church. We need to be in sincerity, in all honesty, in giving ourselves completely and totally unto our Father, so that he can use us in his will and in his way, not ours, but his. That's why we need to be in his word all we can be, every time we can get in it, and spend a lot of time in giving him praise and thanks. You see, in praise and thanks, there is strength. Think about it. There is strength in giving God praise and thanks. But we need to be thankful, if nothing else, but for the day that he's brought us into. thanking for this day, thanking and praising that he has let you have another day for you to grow yet stronger and closer. These are things that we really don't think about. Now, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Are you really looking? And are you really hoping for it? 14. Who gave himself for us, that we might, that he might redeem us from all iniquity, and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Now, there's some peculiarity here in this verse. It says, he gave himself, we know he did, on the cross. And he done it for us. He took our sin, sickness, disease, and all to the cross for him. For us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity, from all of our sins, and to purify unto himself a peculiar people. Here on this earth, that's why those that are non-believers are against us. We are peculiar to them. They don't know really what to think about us. And some will see us, depending on how we live, if we are really living according to the Lord our God, then there are some of them that will look and watch us for a while, and they'll begin to think, I need what they have. You see, that's why we are to be an example. So they will want what we have. And then their life will change. And they can become that born again child of the living God. And, you know, we're a peculiar people, doing good works. Salvation that appeared to all men is based on God's grace that was provided, that has provided salvation universally for all mankind through the unlimited atonement of Christ, that blessed hope and glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ refers to his second coming. The use of the definite article with the first noun God and the connecting and indicates that the first and second Savior are one and the same person. Our great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, is thus one and the same person, clearly proving the deity of Christ. And we know they are one. We are told in several different places, in several different books, we're told that in heaven, There are three that bear record. The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, and these three are one. And just as we are told, there are three on earth. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And they all live within you and I. But you see, we also have, and we are told, that we have the Son, the Spirit, and the water. And these three bear record of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. It's all in God's Word. And yet, mankind does not want to spend enough time in God's Word to make heaven their home. He'd rather be in the things of this world out here and have the things of this world here that he cannot even take with him. That when he leaves what he has, somebody else is going to receive it. And he will spend his time in hell. Is that really worth trading eternity with the Lord Jesus Christ? I don't think so. Now, 15, and this is the last verse. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. Well, we know that there are some out there that's going to do that very thing, but it's not to be because we deserve it. You see, we are to be walking in the authority and with the power of Almighty God. There's going to be those out there that are non-believers that's going to despise everything that we do, everything we say, and us. But you see, really, when you come down to it, it's not really us they're despising. They're despising the things of Almighty God. Now, but you walk with authority and the power of God so that you are doing the things he calls upon you to do. And complete your life here on this earth, be wishes. Not my will, Lord, but your will be done. Just as Jesus prayed there in the Garden of Gethsemane. These are things you and I need to have in our hearts and our minds. And be thanking God for it. We're going to stop here. Then, God willing, we'll finish up this evening at 6 with Titus, and we'll be going in. And this name is pronounced in several different ways by different people. Some call it Philemon. And some call it Philemon. And depending on which way you break it down, it can be either one. So either way you call it is all right. I call it Philemon. that you may call it believing. That's fine. Now, anyway, we'll be getting into that after we finish with Titus. You know, we're getting on deeper into this New Testament, and we're finding a lot of things that we need to really look at, because it means a lot of changes in our own lives that we need to be doing and accomplishing. That is something we need to never forget, is being willing to accept and make the changes that God tells us to make. All right. Well, we're going to stop here now and go to the Lord in prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, we close your word. And Father, I do thank you for this word. And I thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ and for the Holy Spirit. Now, Father, be with each and every one of us. Keep us in health, Father. Keep us safe through this day. And Father, bring us back together again this evening at 6 p.m. and back into your word. And Father, we do pray for Israel and Jerusalem. We pray for peace to them. We know they're under an attack, Father. Under attack by those, Father, that are against you and against them. Now, Father, I pray not only for peace for them, but I pray that they will all accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, as their Messiah. Father, this land of ours that has grown so evil and has taken Jesus out of every place, taking his name out of every place that we live. Those that are sitting in our offices in the high places of government, in our churches, that has brought this evil upon this land and its people. I pray for them to be removed out of the office and replaced by those that belong to you, that love you, love the Lord Jesus, love the church, love your people, and love this country, and that will work with us to bring this land to repentance and put our government back upon the foundation in which it was founded, that being your word and the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, I pray for the Lord Jesus to be put back into our school system, Father. Now, Father, be with us all through this day, keeping us safe, bringing us together again at 6 p.m. And I'm asking this all in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, everyone. Have a great, great, great day.